Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to our multi-part recap of Hot Frosty. I am Ben from Watch What Crappens, joined by my co-host Ronnie Karam, but also this is our holiday crossover event. So I am also here with Jake and Matt from Reality Gaze. We're all doing this together. This is on our feed. It's on their feed. It's all of our feeds. Lots of feeding going on. What's going on, everyone?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So where we left off on Hot Frosty, yes, which you can watch on Netflix, here's what we've discussed so far. Lacey Chabert wakes up. She has a cold house. She goes to her restaurant where she works. She encounters Chrishell from Selling Sunset. And that's where we are. So that's
Chrishell fat shames her daughter. And yes. Did you catch that Chrishell's name is Jan? Again,
yeah, that's another name I feel like people don't
Kathy,
have, right?
We have Kathy, Jan.
Literally, there's an old man later in the movie called
Mortimer.
And who was it? It was, it's some actress that I follow. Was it Annie Potts or somebody of that age on Instagram saying, hey, I'm doing a film and I'm playing the role of Ethel. No one, please stop calling us Gertrudes, Ethel, and we had an Ethel was married to Mortimer in this movie. No,
this guy is this bro who's like, I just want to fuck bitches. That's why I became a screenwriter.
This is why gay men need to be writing these movies.
I wonder if he's the same guy that wrote Bad Johnson. Did you ever see that? It's kind of the same type of movie.
No, this guy's written like three Christmas movies. That's his.
He has written Hot Frosty, The Santa Summit, In Merry Measure, and also The Santa Class.
Yeah. But it seems like he was trying to get his gritty mafia feature made, and that didn't work. And yes, his mortgage was due. So he's like, I was going to do this like 2001. I wrote about Hot Frosty. And so here it is, Netflix. And the guy's like, they're like, oh my God, this is gold. So
he literally has these are the titles on this writer's IMDb.
Wow.
There are seven credits: Three Wiser Men and a Boy, Christmas yep, Under the Lights, The Santa Class, Hot Frosty, The Santa Summit, In Merry Measure, and then his very first feature, Web of Lies.
Oh, I told you that is what he wanted to write.
Did he just hate working with Madeline Stowe so much that he went to Christmas movies?
By the way, Madeline Stowe, I'm waiting for her Hallmark movie where I want her to be in one of these where she's very, if she played the
just
role
when
of
I
Kathy,
when I blinking open and close like it did in Revenge.
Blink in Revenge. If she would have, I thought you meant like in the movie Blink that she was also in.
No, she had Botox eye in Revenge, so one of her eyes was like twitching on its own.
If Madeline Stowe were Kathy, she would be playing the grief up so much. She would be walking into her restaurant like, good morning.
Yeah. Please, just stay here and watch TV. Please.
Chocolate chip pancakes are only on Sundays.
It really was the, if you watch Revenge and say, is this woman in on the joke? She's not.
So good. She was so good.
She was giving the most over the top. It was delicious. Incredible.
It was delicious. That was a great performance. My God.
Just the best. So we've just left off where Kathy is just opened her very busy restaurant for the day. There's like one other employee. There's no way they're going to keep up with anything. And so she leaves to go to the thrift store and bring a snack to those
people.
She's
dysregulated.
She's like, well, I figured you guys might be so busy with the snow sculpture competition that you wouldn't have time for lunch. What's the thrift store have to do with the snow sculpture? Yeah. Are just a lot of people in there buying scarves?
Not a single customer in there. And she's like, I thought this was passive aggressive. I thought you guys would be so busy like my restaurant is. But look at me taking time out of my busy schedule to bring you some egg salad.
No, it's not even that. It's like at least egg salad feels like something that has some type of specificity to it. She's like turkey sandwiches that like she just made. Like, why not soup or something that feels like you could have done something with it? She's like, I just had my chef make up some like this gross loaf turkey. And the guy's like, mayonnaise, give me some more mayonnaise.
Yeah, that guy loves his mayonnaise.
She also acts like she is like serving food to Jessica Tandy and Hum Kuronin. And these people are just like, they're like 61. They're fine. They're thriving. You know?
But you know what? There are those people who always act really old, even when they're not. And it's so annoying because the wife is like, how are you doing outside of work? You have a man. You can't live in life without a man. Okay. So now listen. So my mother always wanted me to meet someone. And she always used to say, you'll never find the warmth unless you venture out into the cold. That's not true.
That's
hire a DoorDash. You know, call someone to come over, see who your neighbors are. You know what I mean? Yes. I don't leave the house very often at all.
My mother would say, if you venture out in the cold, men will leave you and you'll die alone.
Wow.
Very different.
She had a point.
If you both things happen to the cold, you might meet a very handsome ice sculpture that will come alive and then you'll wind up having sex someday.
So maybe.
You're going to fuck an icicle. Have fun with that, kid.
She ventures out in the cold. So one Christmas, she ventures out, put on her favorite red scarf and went down to the pub. And I met the man of my dreams that very night. So on Christmas, we're not like spending time with family. We're going to go slut it up down at the bar.
She's going to put on that red scarf like the tart she is.
I know. I was waiting for her husband to be like, wait a minute. We didn't meet in a pub. I wasn't talking about you, Joe.
Wasn't talking about you, queer.
The love of my life.
It was what you said, yes. And I met my husband. And it literally is like he
went,
hi.
Me? Just so... That kerchief, y'all, that was coded for me. I'm like, that was the gayest thing in this town.
If you're a man wearing a kerchief, you want something up your butt.
Yeah.
So, now, she doesn't actually give Kathy her special red
scarf.
This
drove me fucking nuts.
She's like, by the way, this scarf just came in yesterday. It just arrived. It kind of reminded me of it because it's a red scarf. I've never seen one like this before. So I was like, you know what?
It's got some red baby puke on it. For some reason.
And then you walked in.
That's so weird. And I got this scarf. It reminded me of when I met my husband at a bar. And I knew this red scarf came in for a reason. So here, you take it. It's got jizz all. Like, what are you giving me? Someone's cum scarf? Why are you giving me this? Don't ever trust a thrift store person who just gives you something for free. It's unsellable.
There had to be a slut in town who'd want this.
Of course. Remind me when I submitted to that man in the pub bathroom. But the fact that this isn't her scarf and it's just some random piece of shit that came in and it has y'all, that means it has no magic in it at all. That's the weird thing.
The
idea is that it arrived in her life almost magically. Some entity
have it blow in the wind in front of her feet while she's walking. Like have the magic.
Because
everybody knows wind is magic in these type of movies. So just
but you know what? So is passive aggression. So I would hope that the girl came over, Kathy came over and said, "You guys aren't busy at all. I brought you turkey sandwiches. Here's your bill," and then tried to charge them. And then so she was like, "Oh, you're charging me for shit I didn't order? Well, here's a scarf. This perfect for you. And here's your bill." It could be like a reverse gift of the Magi.
It came here yesterday. And then you came in And I decided that you needed this because she's
I needed to get out of this store immediately.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, this scarf came into my life and I just could sense that someday you would walk in with a turkey sandwich.
Yes. In return. This was so stupid.
You walked in with the same thing I ended up with, a turkey. So here's the scarf.
Yes.
Kathy doesn't like it because she leaves with this scarf.
Kathy's offended as she fucking should be. And also, Kathy's like, does this count as my Christmas gift? She just leaves and is like, who can I give this shit to?
But don't forget, then Mel, the woman, looks at her husband and winks at him. So therefore, she knows about magic, which was never followed up the entire time.
She's lacking because she conned Kathy into taking her like disease-filled scarf that they were trying to offload.
I know it's got like the bubonic plague or some shit.
We just fucked on it. We just fucked on it. She's going to put it around her neck.
Mm-hmm. One less piece of laundry.
You just choked me out with this scarf, and now she's going to choke that snowman.
I'll wear it around. I'll wear it around.
Everybody knows a snowman can't come if they're breathing.
You are sick people.
They got to be choked.
Little does she know, you just gagged
that ice come into you.
Oh, God.
So Kathy's wearing this for like all of like one afternoon, because now it's like evening, and she's walking through town, and she's looking at the sculptures, and she's looking at the hot sculpture, pretending
still miserable,
totally turned
still
on.
Miserable.
And then she looks at it and goes, "Well, clearly you've been doing your push-ups." And he has very big nipples.
The nipples are so big
with concentric circles, and so
I actually prefer bigger nipples on guy, but it was even like too much nipple for me.
It's
well, just because they literally looked like they were 45s.
They look like pepperonis.
It needs to be the right size, I guess, because I don't trust men with super little nipples. It's like,
you shouldn't. We're monsters.
Yeah, I just don't trust it. It's like the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy. What's his name? Chris, whatever. Small nipples. Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
I never liked him because his small nipples.
He's a douchebag.
He is.
I wish I could play when that movie came out. I could play your quote going, "Oh, look at Chris Pratt."
No, you didn't see that movie. You don't know my life.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
So for some reason, she's like, okay, well, you've been doing your push-ups. And then she stares at him a long time. And then she wraps the scarf around him. Excuse me, that is not only a gift, but that is also someone else's artwork that you're just fucking up before the competition.
There's a gay teenager who's like, do you know how much time I spent working that man's clavicle?
No, Ben, it's a gay old person. It's a gay octogenarian.
But she did that because she looked at the camera. The camera walked. It was Lynn Belvedere. I just have to say, I just watched a TikTok the other day that a friend sent me that had when Mr. Belvedere said, Wesley cheated on his test, Mr. So-and-so. And he's like, and Wesley goes, I hate you. I wish you were gone. And the next scene, the people knocking on the door says, Department of Immigration. And they take Mr. Belvedere away. I had forgotten about that.
There was the original Frosty the Snowman.
And he went, see you later.
But it's got dark.
But Mr. Belvedere always comes back every Christmas, guys.
That's true. One thing about this, the reason why they did that is she looked, the camera was really obviously doing this.
Yes.
But the director going, this left. Snowman has a scarf. This three that ball snowman classic has snowman a, has a scarf.
Scarf.
He needs a scarf. But it,
yeah, scarf, you're right. They did set that up well. Like, oh, he just forgot the scarf. No, he didn't. Notice the other ones are also short and rotund, and this one is tall and gorgeous. You don't need to like come in here and put your own stamp on everything, okay?
Wieners. This was done by someone who went to RISD.
You don't have to put a finishing touch on it. I once went to someone's house and the grandmother, I was at my friend's grandma's house, and the grandmother's son had made a piece of art. Like, he had made something on a canvas, and there was a giant, it was like this abstract thing with all this paint, but there was this giant, like, black quail that the grandma had cut out, like a silhouette of a quail, and she had taped it onto the painting. And we're like, why did you do that? She goes, I just thought it needed a quail. And I've always thought about that.
But it needed
like,
a quail.
Son had like made this, had like taken time and like made this abstract painting and gave it to her. And she's like, uh-huh, let me just cut out a quail real quickly and put it on there.
That
and
is that's really what she strange. Did.
She put, she put a quail on the snowman.
She put a quail on the snowman. This sure. queen took so much time.
Yes, Lord.
The director I looked up the director because I think you texted us this, very odd shots of like camera angles. Of
yes.
And it felt like a new director. And I went and looked it up. Did you look up the director?
It was Nancy Myers. I was shocked.
it, not this as guy's kitchen done, scenes.
He's done so much. He actually did some episodes of Schitt's Creek and a Shania Twain document or Shania Twain film that now I want to watch. Well,
the Holy Grail for you.
Oh, there you go.
Clearly he's Canadian, yep. But he's done a lot of movies. And I went, oh, God, because it did not feel like it.
Which tells me that probably Justin Milligan was early attached. And they probably went, and Justin Milligan brought the director.
Let's be honest, it was produced under his shingle.
I think these Christmas movies are like kind of summer stock where you just do it all in 2 weeks. It's like just get someone to write it, get all these people, you give them $5, they all show up because they're not doing any other damn thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then they just all kind of do it. So, you know, it's like haphazard, but
going back to the direction of this, I did notice, I noticed it in that thrift store scene, the shots were like oddly close. Like I felt like they needed to like need a little bit more space because they were just talking about like, oh, I found a scarf. Oh, you want a scarf? Here's a turkey sandwich. It wasn't like a total close up, but it was closer than like a medium shot. And I was just like, why are we so intensely focused on these people right now? Can we pull back a little bit? Can we add some like lightness to this stupid?
It was probably done on the phone because you know when you do things with a small... a smaller camera, you're like, oh my God, I can barely see my face. Like, maybe it was done like that.
Trying to just pinch it. Yeah.
It felt like, but it felt like it was done for like a smaller, like a 30 or 35 minute show. I agree. It was done in that kind of smaller. Yeah.
When I was in college, I took a filmmaking class and I lost a lens or something. So I had to shoot everything with like this is actually a terrible story, but the point is I lost my wide angle lens. That's what it was. Or like it wasn't working or something. Everything had to be shot with like, everything was like a mid shot and it was so frustrating. And so watching this, I was like, that's what happened. His wide angle lens broke. It was me.
No one had another, and they just had to keep going.
No, Netflix was like, we spent your budget on Coldplay. Sorry, you got to work with that.
Sorry.
That other lens, yeah.
Did you guys notice in the actual snowman sculpture, it's almost like they ran out of time to do it because the snow, they did not show but they showed like the bottom half of him because we were going to say, where's the snow penis? He was in snow. He was like it, like they'd been chiseled out of like marble or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
they couldn't just wait all day for, you know, Mr. Belvedere to finish.
I can't not see Mr. Belvedere now.
Look, this snowman has a twinkle in his eye and is ready to go.
Don't you remember the DJ's like, it's finally ready to start. Thanks.
So she throws his scarf on him and like you said, then his eye twinkles out of nowhere. And she like, you're so right, Ronnie. Now that you say this, she's never happy this entire movie. And I didn't realize it.
She never is. And listen, it's like you're at risk for being like, smile, honey. People would like you more. You know, it's like, I don't want to be like that.
I think in this type of movie,
literally never smiles. She's never happy.
She walks away and then the wind blows and the snow flurries happen. And
she takes a picture. That is the most important thing.
It's like the flash of the picture. Cause she has obviously a shitty camera that requires a flash to take a photo of this very well lit snowman.
Yeah.
So she takes a picture and then something about like the scarf and then the flash of light is like all that he needs to become sentient.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
They say Hollywood is where dreams are made, a seductive city where many flock to get rich, be adored, and capture America's heart. But when the spotlight turns off, fame, fortune, and lives can disappear in an instant. When TV producer Roy Radin was found dead in a canyon near LA in 1983, there were many questions surrounding his death. The last person seen with him was Lainey Jacobs, a seductive cocaine dealer who desperately wanted to be part of the Hollywood elite. Together, they were trying to break into the movie industry. But things took a dark turn when $1 million worth of cocaine and cash went missing. From Wondery comes a new season of the hit show Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder. Follow Hollywood and Crime, The Cotton Club Murder on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Cotton Club Murder early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like John Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
May I have a glissando?
snow wind.
That very realistic snow wind comes in.
Yeah.
And snow we're around. Also, God, I missed the 2023s.
Those are big. That's swirling snow animation. Also,
yes, there was some Hallmark animation.
That is not cheap. Hallmark is not doing that.
It was basically King Kong. So then we see an old, so, you know, now we see this guy because he's been magical wind and it turns into a real man and he sneezes, guys, because he's a human for the first time and realizes that we're dirty pollutants.
Is he cold? Yes. I thought he was sneezing because he was cold.
I think he just had to get the snow out of his nose.
I see.
Probably.
Got it.
Yeah.
And his scarf is covering his junk, y'all.
Yes.
I never hated a scarf more.
What do we think about him naked? Like, what do we think about him as a male kind of object of lust?
We've been putting this off because we're not
objectify his ass, Ben. You go, Ben.
He was so cute on Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
I feel like, did they film this movie while he was prepping for like an Iggy Pop biopic? Like, what is that?
I was going to say it's Iggy Pop. Did you guys watch the show Orphan Black? He's like the guy on Orphan Black, her gay brother. That's what he looks like. He doesn't look good with long hair. He looks just gaunter.
The hair is not right. It's like there's something is going
too,
on. This guy
too many cutters. Like he's too thin.
It's like he's steroids gaunt. Or something. Or
like when he was actually dead or supposed to be dead later on the movie. He kind of looked dead.
He looked like Jesus to me.
Something was going on with the face, the teeth, and it was like he was like buff, but I was like, where was Aaron O'Connell? Like,
thank Matt you. And I,
our favorite Hallmark hunk is Aaron O'Connell. This would have been so perfect for Aaron O'Connell. He is so gorgeous, and he would have just had that perfect. He already has snowman energy. It would have just been perfect.
Yes, and he could have watched someone fly in a plane, and then because he actually flies a plane, then he could have flown her in a plane.
I think though, the aesthetics were right. He could have flown her in a plane. The aesthetics were kind of off, but like I thought his whole performance throughout I'm like, you're fucking charming, and
yeah, he was very charming. I thought he was super cute.
His performance was great, but I agree. Physically, it wasn't exactly a good fit. It's like they could have get that kid, you know, the kid, he would have been too young. But like the other thing is, even though Dustin Milligan is maybe in his late 30s, he seemed much younger than Lacey Chabert.
He did.
Issue that you guys are seeing physically. I think they were trying to like young him up because he looked like when they try and put like Al Pacino in a younger role and they use like CGI to make him younger. I know they didn't spend the money because I just saw the snow blowing, but the wig is a little weird. And then they look like they're trying to put makeup on him to like age him down. Yeah, and I think maybe that's why he looks weird. Cause I mean, I think overall he's super cute. And also he's doing that not like goofy, like, oh my God, I'm just so humble, you know? And maybe that's
he. If you look at pictures of Dustin Milligan, he's like hot. He's like a hot guy.
Yeah, he's really hot.
Somehow they did not really capture that.
I'm going to say this. Frosty needed a beard. Because well, when he wears a beard,
he needed a beer really belly. Is what oh my he God. Needed. What's wrong with having a hot, fat Frosty? Have a chunky fucking Frosty. What the fuck, man?
You could have made a beefy Frosty.
It could have been like, you know what? And also, it could have been like a Jason Kelsey, not Jason Kelsey, but it could have been Jason Kelsey. It could have been Travis Kelsey. Travis Kelsey would have actually been perfect for this because he also has snowman energy. And I would believe him having childlike wonder.
Okay.
And also, you want to
Okay. I got to step this back. What is snowman energy?
He does have snowman energy. It's kind of like, okay,
but I'm going to find that.
It's a little bumbling.
A little golden retriever-ish. Yeah. It's kind of.
Okay.
Hairy boyish, you know, it's like a boyish, but like a bear, big hairy bear kind of thing. Okay, like, you know, that when he eats French fries, he'll even get like little things of salt stuck in his beard and he'll be like, should I tell him or is it cute? Like,
this just doesn't sound like real life at all, Ronnie.
This just felt like a look into your
we all know it should have been Aaron O'Connell.
I really liked his performance. I don't think he was physically right. I totally agree.
You're wrong. You mean Aaron O'Connell. Yes.
I get very defensive of Aaron O'Connell.
I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't saying anything about Aaron O'Connell.
I'm sorry. I'm backing that up.
Oh, my God. Aaron O'Connell is a gorge.
You don't remember we covered a movie and Ben and I basically beat off during our entire podcast
He's so hot.
What movie was it?
The mint one, the one with the pioneer woman.
Oh, with the dead wife.
He was like,
why does everybody have a fucking dead wife in these? Like, why is the spouse always?
You know
dead?
Why? Because it's really easy. It's a really easy screenwriting thing.
He had the dead wife and then the daughter. Do you remember that movie?
Do you remember what happened in that movie?
I did Candy-Coated Christmas. That's what it was.
Candy-Coated Christmas. A blonde lady from the city comes to this town and she knocks on the door and a girl opens up the door. She goes, oh, hi, is your mom here? She goes, no, she died in a car wreck.
Oh, that was a great film. That was a great film because it was terrible.
But yeah, he's really cute. I don't remember him, but in Small Picture, he looks like Eddie Cibrian. I mean, this guy, I'm going to make
He's a whiter Eddie Cibrian. That's exactly,
Have you put in Aaron? Have you gone to DuckDuckGo and put in Aaron O'Connell dick pic? I'm going to see if there is one. There's one in his underwear. Oh my God, he's so cute. Okay.
Aaron O'Connell has completely derailed us.
Well, there's also a lot of porn, so I'm going to turn that off. I think delivery guys are on their way up here. Okay, so anyway, Aaron O'Connell, huh? Love his
movies. Aaron O'Connell would have been so perfect for this. He just, you know, he's just not a big enough name, and unfortunately, like, I know that Dustin Milligan is also not a big enough name, but people can be like, oh my God, that's the guy
from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, but Aaron O'Connell, it's like, he's been in Hallmark movies. That's just his lane. But I think I mentioned when we did do Candy Coated Nights that I went to a wedding about 4 years ago and Aaron O'Connell was there as one of the guests. And it was like,
oh my God.
I didn't get to talk to him, but I definitely was like, oh my God, it's Aaron O'Connell.
I think Ben just said Candy Coated Nights, and I think that's your Hanukkah themed version of.
I think Candy Coated Nights is actually Candy Burris's podcast.
Yeah.
But Candy Coated Christmas is the one with Aaron O'Connell.
Candy Coated
Nights. I just thought that was the Hanukkah version of Candy Coated Nights.
My friend is actually, she writes these Hallmark movies and she is Jewish. And so she does sort of like try to get sort of Hanukkah-y thing. She actually wrote the Hanukkah, the one that was like the Hanukkah Hallmark movie that came out last year or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that the Jew in me feels like we should like cover that. But then I'm like, I don't want to have to make fun of my friend's movie. So it's just something I'm going to have to live with.
No, I have a friend who's writing. It's not coming out till December, but he's writing a sexy Christmas movie that comes out on Lifetime. I think it's called like A Carpenter Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was one of the ones that we were thinking about.
And it looks terrible, but it doesn't come out until later. But I'm like, oh, wait, we're friends.
Well, Danny Pellegrino wrote one.
I was going to suggest that one, but I didn't want to be mean to Danny Pellegrino.
It's hard to. Yeah, you don't want to. Because it's
I'd make fun of him. He's in the same business. He gets it. Like, grow a thick skin. People make fun of us all the fucking time.
But for a movie that you've written, I don't know if I want to do that either.
I want to celebrate Danny. Something. I'm going to celebrate Danny's. And also, I would much rather watch, I would much rather, you know, take on a movie with Lauren Holly.
I just would want people talking about my movie. I don't care if it's good or bad.
Yeah, that's true too. Every year when we do this, I'm always like, I'm going to write a Hallmark movie. And then I never do. And now here we are again. Another year has gone by and I have not written my Hallmark movie. But this year, maybe this year will be different.
maybe this year's the year.
I'll wrap a red scarf around my laptop and see if my Hallmark movie comes to life.
I'm going to wrap a red scarf around my picture of Erin O'Connell that's in my bathroom.
You just need to like give them, and it'll be, you just need to, the idea is they give, someone gives them a menorah and they just keep giving the person menorah. A menorah. Yeah.
I think it should be that like you have like 8 nights to do, like at the end of 8 nights, at the end of the 8 nights of Hanukkah, if you haven't done the thing, save like the town library, save the town synagogue.
Yeah. Yes.
Then
the world ends. There'll be no more oil and that's it. The temple and the earth is plunged into darkness.
So there's a latke competition.
Just freezes over.
Yes.
There's got to be a latke competition, but you know, yes. Because the name of the game is that you always have to have a celebrity cameo, like the Pioneer Woman or whatever. Who would mm-hmm. be our Jewess? Who would be, it's like Jules Aaron or something.
Who would you get?
Like like a Jewish Broadway actress, you know, something like
Like Linda Lavin.
Yes. Hey, Jewish. I can get one of my good friends, Doc, sits for her. I could get you Linda Lavin for this movie. Okay.
I don't know if you can promise my best friend's dog sitter.
Can you get me Linda Lavin? Can we get Linda Lavin on the phone? We got to get
Lavin on the phone.
I've been in her house. It's a beautiful
home. I promise you, Linda Lavin ain't doing no Hallmark movie.
No.
I think I'm naming my Hanukkah Hallmark movie, Got a Latke of Loving to Do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Nathan Lane's in it. Matt Bomer's in it. It's
wow.
So yeah, it's supposed to come out on HBO.
I don't know who Nathan Lee Graham is. Oh, I see.
He's great. You'd probably recognize him. He's a black queer actor.
Nathan Lee Graham. Well, I'm gonna look him up right now.
Yeah,
do it.
As long as we have.
He's like budget Billy Porter. Yeah, when you can't get Billy Porter, you get Nathan Lee Graham. Seriously, that's his career.
He's the Mary Kay Place.
Okay. So Jack sees the thrift store from earlier and he's like, clothes. And he leans up against the wussiest store window I've ever seen. You know, are those people in that store wondering why they're always cold? Because you got drafts and your glasses from 97 years ago. He just falls right through it.
How strong does he have to be to break that glass?
Well, is he made of ice?
First of all, he's made of ice. So he's
maybe he has strong. Super strength because he also has super learning abilities.
Well, by the way, let's not we skipped over a very important plot point because this is important for the building of the case against him. Before he gets to the thrift store, as he's walking through the town, an elderly couple goes walking through the plaza late at night.
Mortimer and Ethel.
Are strolling through town to take a look at the sculptures because, you know, the sculpture competition is finally open.
And they stopped having sex about 40 years ago. Yeah.
Well, maybe, but you know what? That may all change tonight. I think Ethel.
It's going to change. Yeah. She got horned up tonight. Ethel loved it. And also, Mortimer makes a comment where he says, if this dog doesn't go, I'm going to change it in for a goldfish. You don't deserve a dog, sir. Okay.
It was such a weird thing to say.
Yeah. He's sort of like shady, we find out much later in the movie. So Jack, he waves at them. Of course, like he's hiding behind like a little, there's something that's obscuring his manhood. So
yes,
snow scarf. Manhood.
His magical scarf. Not so magical after all. Fucking little glowy thing that goes in front of everything, blocking everything good. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been fighting those since the 80s.
So he goes, hello, hi there. And this old man is so horrified to see a naked man in the street. He falls into the snow. This is why we never see the Lynn Belvedere type who makes this sculpture, because obviously this is a little bit of a homophobic town that you cannot
definitely
the gay panic.
Oh no.
I think it was like more like total penis panic because they don't, you know, I don't even know if it was gay. I just, no one in this town works out. Everyone who sees this body, like if we saw a naked guy that looked like that in the street, we'd be like, ah, you're a six, you know? But in a little town like this, no one has literally seen a body like this and they're all shocked and falling over.
You can go to Hollywood Boulevard and see that anytime.
So anyway,
old man falls, Mortimer.
And he's like, what was that? But Ethel, who's got a brain about her, she goes, I'm not sure. Let's go investigate.
Yeah, she knows. You see her mouth starts watering.
But Ethel doesn't even run over there. Her vagina does. Like her vagina starts running and drags Ethel's carcass behind her.
It like leads her. It like leads her like a divining rod.
Yes. No matter what age, you can always be a dick pig. If it's in you, it's in you. Yes.
It's like that thing in Donnie Darko that just like sucks people and takes them along like those little lights. Yes.
I'm not familiar, but if Donnie Darko involves like hot men who are luring people into places.
A young Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
I saw pretty one good scene of it.
And it's a good film.
He was like in a movie theater and then there was a creepy bunny next to him.
A creepy,
like,
creepy rabbit. Yeah. It's a kind of cult film. It came out like a really specific time for me. And like my generation, we were all obsessed with it for a little bit.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, back in the day.
I don't know if it'll hold up today, but it was good.
Yeah. I also like that Ethel sort of looks like Prue Leith from the Great British Bake Off. Like,
She does. That's who it is. Yes.
Oh my God, y'all, that guy Dylan. I'm so obsessed with him. They say like basically if a cat came to life and wished to be a human, it would be that guy Dylan. He's so beautiful.
He is so cute. I haven't watched this season, but he's the one with a little bit of shaved
line
in his like yeah, everyone posts
he's,
about him. What is
so beautiful
creature.
He's great. I've only watched 3 episodes of the season, but in one episode he just falls over for no reason.
I'm like, that's so hot.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's fucking stunning.
He's so sweet.
I'm about to ruin it for you.
What?
He's kind of like male Dora the Explorer if you really keep looking at him because he's just so cute. Like I looked at him the other day. I was like, he's so cute. Who does he look like? He looks like a cross between Dora the Explorer and he's on Entertainment Tonight, Mario Lopez.
Oh, wow.
Am I thinking of the right person? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
No.
I
can see that.
No, this is, I don't think it's the same person. I don't think he looks like Dora the Explorer at all.
Wait, what's his name?
Dylan.
Thank you for saying that because people are going to be so confused. Dylan from British Baking
Show. I mean, I just looked at him. He kind of gives me a little bit like a John Snow vibe.
Like this John is a Snow, different person.
They keep saying the thing on the internet was if a beautiful cat became a human.
He's
just
beautiful.
Everything about his face.
Yeah. This isn't who I was thinking of.
No, I was going to say Dora the Explorer. I did not know.
Yeah. Well, I've just given a Dora the Explorer fetish away, I guess. So it was worth it for that.
Swiper coming.
So anyway, Jack has now ran away basically or whatever happened. And he winds up at the thrift store. He sees clothes in the window and he's
excited. He goes, clothes!
A lot of mugging.
Yeah, he's really sad about clothes. I don't know why he wants clothes, but he just decides he wants clothes.
Because clothes keep you warm, which is weird. And also, how does he know what clothes is? This is the first time where I was how does he know what anything is?
What does he know? What does he not know?
I'm surprised he can speak English. And the other thing is, he also knows that stealing is wrong somehow. Like, he knows he should not steal, but he doesn't know what streaking is. And he doesn't know what cancer is.
Snowmen live by a moral code. So I think that's pretty obvious why he understands about stealing.
Wow.
Well, he does steal clothes. He gets a pair of overalls that, wink, wink, have the name Jack on them.
Like Jack Frost.
Like Jack Frost, y'all. And so now so he's dressed in these clothes and...
This costume looks like a costume I would call like sexy auto mechanic that you would buy from Amazon.
I was going to say, it looks porn adjacent.
Yeah. It's like, this is where also like you really, like when choosing an actor, I think if you're going to be doing this sort of like sleeveless jumpsuit thing, I think you need part of that audition process is going to have to be evaluating the arms. And this guy's got very good arms. Like, I would love to have his arms, but like, I think you want someone with like big arms.
You want
to be
wearing that muscly, outfit. Burly, you like meaty.
Former football player type, like football.
Oh God, my favorite type.
You know?
Oh. Wow.
You know?
That's great. Except when they get that aggression from being tackled too much. Let's keep going.
When they get the sundowning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So oh, great.
He's found clothes, and the reason he's named Jack is because the name on the overalls is Jack, which
mm-hmm. right.
I don't think he needs that. He knows what everything is. Why can't he just say, my name's Jack, and I come to life every once in a while when people give me a scarf? Why is it like the first time fairy tale for Jack, and no one ever understands where he came from, who made him? Who is Jack? What makes Jack tick? Does Jack do this all the time?
He's extremely self-aware in that he knows he was born when... He said she took a picture of me. So he doesn't really know. He knows he was born then, but he doesn't know anything else.
It's so 2024, isn't it? It's like, it's not the scarf or the love that brought him to the life. It's the attention from a phone camera.
Is he aware all this time? Like, was he just frozen in snowman form and like observed?
Those were my connections. Those were my questions.
Oh my God, like trapped in ice?
Yeah.
It's like having like Guillain-Barre syndrome or something, right?
But he saw her. He like, it was like a stroke victim where you can't move and you just have to watch everything going on around you.
Yeah, so it's like she was his
That's
awakening.
Horrific. Yes. Yeah. Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Blink your eyes.
That's what I was going to say. What, that butterfly movie?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Matt, what were you going to say?
I'm horrified right now. I don't know what I was going to say. It's completely out of my head.
Diving Bell.
Sorry, I Diving Bell and the Butterfly'd you.
Yeah, it took me out. Took me out, y'all. What happens next? I don't even know.
So he basically, okay, so now it's the next day. Kathy wakes up in her shitty, shitty house. The heater is still not working. There's still a hole in the staircase. She's living in the Middle Ages, and no one's checking on her. Even though the chef in the diner is aware of Kathy's conditions, he has not offered to help whatsoever or asked anyone in town to help. He's just like, he's just doing his thing. So she wakes up.
It takes a village to raise a child, not take care of an adult. Adults should take care of themselves, okay?
Whose husband has recently died? I think it's pretty recent, it seems.
Yeah, I need I guess I need a timeline on that because I love to judge people's grieving. Like, I like to be like, you should be over that by now. Like, how much do we have to talk about this? You know?
Yeah. But if it was 3 months ago, it seems really early to move on with a snowman.
3 months ago, she's a whore because I can't believe she's treating her dead husband like that.
That's the thing, y'all.
If it's like that 5 months, I totally get it. Go, girl. You
3 months, she's a whore.
Yeah,
I thought that part of me honestly thought like this was going to be some sort of like dream or something where she's like coming out of her grief and realizing the snowman never existed. But it was like
that would have been better.
She needed.
Ben, that would have been better than what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been better if he realized she didn't exist. He's the fun one. How did she get to live?
Maybe the first draft was that Lauren Holly never existed and that she was the coping mechanism.
I honestly had that Lauren conversation Holly. With myself because I was like, who's that? Like when she came on the screen, she immediately made the movie 5 million times better. And I'm like, she's so familiar. Who is that? And I couldn't figure it out. I had to look up the cast and I was like, Lauren Holly? Wow, what a blast from the past. And what a just... all around great picket fences.
She's fantastic. Holly.
I think she was cast mainly because of her last name is very holiday forward. You know,
that's a great, she's been in a couple other Hallmark movies. I looked at her IMDb because I was thinking we haven't seen her in a while, but she has consistently worked. She was on CSI for like 7 years.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't watch that one. Which one?
I'm not sure. There's like four of them, aren't there? NCIS, Secret Agent Man.
CIS Living Room. Whatever they're called.
CIS Peoria.
Yeah. Ben, you should change your last name to Christmas so you can write a Christmas
Ben
movie.
Ben Christmas. I think it has a nice ring to it.
Ben Christmas.
Lauren Holly, yeah, there's something I saw her in where she was like, she played the villain. Ugh, she was a great villain.
She's great in everything. And when she was in Picket Fences, she was like a complete male fantasy. Like she was like the police. She was in on the police force, and she had the big old boobies.
Her and Costas Mandalore. Wow.
Oh, Costas Mandalore. That's something unlocked.
Oh, well, don't encourage Sunday. Him. That's right. She was the villain in Any Given Sunday, right? But didn't you play Dennis Quaid's wife? And she was like, "You get out there, you play. You're
this is now a Lauren Holly appreciation podcast. Yeah.
Get off Lauren Holly's dick."
Yeah, I love Lauren Holly. Yeah, she's a badass. Well, she's not even here yet. Okay, you guys.
No, she's not here.
It's true.
So this
Lacey Chabert still has to meet Jack Frost.
Now, yeah, and so Lacey right now she meets
Lacey.
Right
Lacey
now.
Shows up, and Jack is talking to the other snowmen who didn't get crushed and robbed. And she's like, he's talking to them. He's like, "Guys, look, I can talk, and I even have arms. I have
can
wiener.
Move my arms.
You guys, look." I'm touching myself. You could do it too, guys. All you need to do is find a really sad widow with a scarf that she didn't want.
Can you imagine?
He has such snowman privilege.
He does.
It could happen to you too. They're like, "Look at us. We're three ballers.
I got three. I'm a three baller. If I came to life, I just rolled around.
I would look like George Wendt. You got made in the
You've got snowman pretty privilege.
Yes. Don't talk to me about if I will and I can just be. You don't understand.
They would just, they'd walk around like Demi Moore in The Substance, that last creature. That's what they would look like come to life.
I'm too scared to see that movie, but I really want to see it. But I'm too scared.
I will say this. As a horror person, I like scary movies and I don't like a lot of gore. It was a lot for me. But I'm glad.
Jake told me not to watch it.
You would not be okay with it.
I want to support Demi Moore.
Same.
She's fantastic in it. She's fantastic.
She could have gone the Lauren Holly way, but you know what? She didn't. And I want to support Demi, but I don't.
So is Margaret Qualley.
Oh, I want to see that movie. But it there was a short that just came out. It was one of those horror anthology things, and it was just the same plot as that Demi Moore movie.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I don't know that I need to see it. And also, I don't want to be, you know, talked. I don't want any anti-aging remedy medication or propaganda.
Unless it's real.
Bullshit. Just let me touch my fucking face, okay? I'm putting it in there. Like, leave me alone. Okay. Why don't you make a movie about Bruce Willis getting plugs and that killing him? Okay. Make it fair, you dicks.
Well, I don't think he would remember that.
Well, neither would any of us because it
that was oh movie. My god,
snowman. Am I right? So he's talking. He's basically bragging, and he's like doing bootstrap theory to the other snowman. You know, like, guys, just work hard. And so she walks up. She goes, "Excuse me, hi." Hi, what's going on? He goes, "Oh my god, it's you. Look, you're the scarf lady. You're the, you know, you're the sad scarf lady who came
look,
and
yeah, he's like, "Look what happened to me.
You made me human.
I was snow and now I'm not made of snow. And but you're not made of snow, but you're still freezing."
And at this
any chance
point,
I could see that picture you took of me. I'm not sure you got my angle.
At just this curious. Point, yeah. Why do you not call for police saying this man is talking
because,
to me.
Because think of who your police sheriff is. He's not doing well, shit.
Or why not you run away or scream or spray him with mace? Because this is a crazy thing to say to someone.
No, you can't do that anymore. You just have to be like, "Do you want a starburst?" And just like,
I will say,
flick one at him on the way out.
In the meeting of, if we think about Falling for Christmas, okay, an icon, yes. Iconic holiday, literally Lindsay Lohan fell on Cordova Street. We needed more. The meet cute was failed on this movie. Yeah, I feel
you know,
like.
That's such an amazing point. There was,
it
was
that like is the most important part of a hall. I've been watching Finding Mr. Christmas on Hallmark, which is the competition reality show.
The new Hallmark
for the next. But they talk about these pivotal moments.
What? That's a thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it is very much a thing.
Jonathan
looking for
Bennett,
the next hot like Christmas person for the Hallmark Channel. Uh-huh, oh my God!
It's Jonathan Bennett and Melissa Peterman that host it. And it's,
wow, to be a casting couch director at that set. That's gotta be.
The guys are gorgeous, but they made them recreate the meet cute. And they talk about that's the pivotal moment. And usually always in a meet cute, what happens? Someone usually falls.
Someone bumps into someone with coffee or
dogs with leashes.
Dogs with leashes. I don't know.
Political rallies.
One person had a stroke and then the other person has to find a way to get through to them and then they come back to life for 5 minutes and then they bang.
Someone's furniture is delivered and they drop a couch on a neighbor. Whatever.
Instacart. But you know,
Instacart, yes.
I I totally think this is actually a very salient point. There is literally
terrible.
Nothing even close to a meet cute. It's just he's there and she's walking to work.
And a stark, a raving mad person. Yes, a lunatic. That's what it sounds like when he starts talking. But she's the last skeptic in town because everyone in town is like, that's definitely a snowman.
The normal, she's just not a normal person. If somebody said I was made of snow, I'd be like, are you sharing it? Or like, am I going to have to go through your pockets? Are you offering? Like, why would you bring that up?
Mm-hmm.
But agreed. I think this is to show that she's a caring person first. She's caring before she's a Karen. And she says, aren't you cold? You look really cold. So she's concerned about this. She's like, this is someone who is troubled and they're cold. And we don't get these sort of people in this town. So we should take care of him. And he's like, I know, I actually feel good. And she's like, well, I have a diner and I have a business and I think I would like to risk my Yelp reviews by bringing in this deranged man into my diner right now.
And before that, he says, yeah, but I've never had food before. And she goes, okay, come with me. Come with me. You're obviously on angel dust or something where there's an alternate reality.
And someone's on bath salts.
You clearly don't live in California because if somebody said, I've never had food, I'd be like, congratulations. How are you doing that? I certainly don't want to ruin this for you.
Yes.
He's just been cast in 3 movies.
Exactly. He's like, I've never eaten, but I'm rich. God bless you.
She doesn't seem to be scared, but I think what they're trying to go for is that she's like, oh, this poor man, I need to help him. Like, I need to see someone who's not well.
It's that kind of thing, which I think if they would have made her someone who like works at some kind of like help facility that helps children or something, like she made her whole life into helping people, I could understand.
She helps children who want to have chocolate chip pancakes.
That's true.
Outside of Sundays.
She helps children get diabetes.
He keeps saying later, I want to help people like you do. What you've been here how long? You've helped. She brought you in for one meal and she helps the whole town. It was such a weird thing.
Well, because he's taking it like service. Like, you do service. you're so charitable. Like, no, you have to tip me. Like, this is not a charity.
Why do you want to help people so much? I feel like if you're a snowman brought to life and you've got childlike energy, all you want to do is play. You want to throw snowballs around.
You want to
make snow angels. You want to fuck your snow.
You want to fuck everything.
I needed in a montage. I needed him to show how great his snow skills were.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have made like amazing snow forts. He should have just done.
That's true, you guys. He should have had snow talent, and he had none. He showed nothing except being like
nothing.
Cute and like,
I make like funny faces.
Listen, we've all seen this. By the way, we've all saw this movie before. Let's not beat around the bush. We all saw this movie before. It's called Edward Scissorhands.
Yep.
And what we were missing the ice sculptures and the haircuts. For a moment, we got there with Lauren Holly. We'll get there too, Lauren Holly. But the Lauren Holly moment was basically Ronnie's favorite, Kathy Baker, you know, haircut.
Love her.
Kathy Baker.
What a talent.
What's just picket fences for us today?
You're right.
All the time.
All the time.
Kathy Baker. If we bring up Tom Skerritt or Fivish Finkel, we will be batting 1,000.
Fivish we bring up quite often on the show, but not Tom Skerritt. I'm sorry. You know, Tom Skerritt, really, talk about privilege. I mean, that guy just coasted through. What did he ever do except just look like he belonged in overalls? And everything he ever did, that's an overall person right there.
Oh.
He seemed nice enough. But you know what? It was really about Kathy Baker, Fivish, and Lauren.
Oh my God. I just pulled a muscle in my abdomen.
Tom Skerritt. Boy, I did not know.
Ronnie really went in on that one.
I'm just like, what does Tom Skerritt do? Like, he literally rolls out of bed and reads a card, and everybody's like, give him an Emmy.
He had a very serious mustache. He had a very serious mustache.
I think that's why I didn't like him.
It made it seem like he was serious.
He was always contemplative on Picket Pimp.
He was contemplative. Yeah. Yes.
We were at, they go into the diner and he's eating jelly from jelly packets.
Candy and like just bad things for him. Yeah. So obviously snowmen love candy.
Eyes, you would think they would like carrots, to be honest. But Isaac is like,
no, who wants to eat their own nose?
But that's their nose, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
That would be just weird. Oh my God, that guy's zombieing himself outside.
They're smelling carrot all the time.
What if he screamed if he saw someone eating a carrot?
That's actually great.
That would have been actually something they could do.
That would be good. So yeah. Isaac, the chef, is like, who the heck is that? And Kathy goes,
don't worry about it.
I don't know.
Just a drifter I found on the street.
That's
what this is.
But you guys, this is how people get away with it. They're hot. Because if this was like a homeless man, nobody would be acting this way. And trust me, I live close enough to the 7-Eleven to know the difference. My friends, no one gives this poor man anything. He acted like I was a second coming when I gave him some Starburst. Okay. I was like, this poor guy gets nothing. And sorry, it wasn't money. I just didn't have any. He didn't have a Venmo.
My friends,
Michael and Mike, they have a person who's currently without a home or whatever I'm supposed to say now. He is living outside their house. And he lives in his car, and they're like, "That is the hottest guy ever!" Like,
oh my God,
he's so hot. I'm like, this guy just coasts. No one yells at him for parking there. No one's mean to him. I bet he has a Venmo because he's hot, you know. And he's getting away with more, you know.
It's like
and
that just, guy who was thrown in jail. He was like in his mugshot. It was like he was like a mixed race guy with blue eyes, and everyone fucking freaked out. And then I think he ended up doing porn. I don't know if he's back in jail. No, I don't know.
He's like, I think he's like an active, like proper model now.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh,
good for him.
And it all happened because he pretty mugshot.
Because you're hot, you know, it's hot privilege. And I'm sorry if the 7-Eleven guy hears this and is offended. It's not that you're not hot. I just mean, you know,
you're not guy in the car hot.
You're not guy in the car hot. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeremy Meeks was like, he was in jail in Sacramento. He now has 1.5 million followers on Instagram, and he is
doing
high-end like fashion modeling. He did not even go down the own. Like,
really?
He's doing proper like, he's like an actual fashion model.
I mean, he's a gorgeous, gorgeous man. Oh, wow. Look at him.
He is. He's doing, you know, he would have been good in this.
I recognize this guy. I just Googled him. Wow, yeah, he's stunning. This guy's a beautiful guy. Yeah.
So Isaac, the chef, is the only one who has any sort of sense. He's like, well, should I call the cops? And she's like, no, we can't tell Sheriff Hunter. He overreacts about everything. He arrested someone at the movies once. And I'm like, of course, thinking about Pee Wee Herman, right? Are we?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
does someone want to tell Kathy what happens at movie theaters sometimes?
If you're arrested in a movie theater, it's all.
Yeah, if you're arrested in a movie theater, you're masturbating. Yeah. That's what you're doing.
She goes, it's excessive candy unwrapping. Apparently, it was a noise violation. Apparently, he was trying really hard to get into his candy wrapper and he kept saying, oh God. Oh, almost there.
Oh, almost. Now, I will say that is Jake when someone unwraps his camp. When I see Jake is the person that
I don't orgasm, perform, but I no, will he look will get, and look at them and just stare or go.
No, you one time looked at someone and went, really? In the middle of it. And I'm just sitting there.
You should
there.
See it like on Broadway. If I'm like seeing something. Oh, yeah. And because the audience behavior in Broadway has become like just people acting like barnyard animals.
Yeah.
And I will
That's
be.
Expensive.
I will be the biggest bitch to anyone who's doing shit like that. And
know what? Can I just say as someone who's about to hit 50 at the end of this year? It's so hard because as you get older, you really do start craving candy that's wrapped. Like for whatever reason, this
Werther's.
Year,
Werther's.
It came out of, I've been having Werther's for a while because they have sugar-free Werther's that really, and I eat them like by the bagful. I really eat a ton of Werther's. That was the first, that was my like entry level, you know, gateway drug. Then for some reason, one day I was like, I want a Starburst and I got Starburst. I cannot
love Starburst.
I'll eat two packages of that a day. I just love it. And now I love Reason, chocolate Reason. Those are all also wrapped. Everything I'm into now is wrapped candy. I don't know how it happened, but it's like evolution. Like
you're moving into the Eurotrash version with Reason too. You're moving.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Oh my God. What a binge.
If you have to unwrap your candy, do it quickly. Because I think what happens is people try to be quiet about it. So they're like,
you can't do that with a Starburst. Those are waxy and they're stuck to the candy bin. You can't get them open slowly. You have to be like,
I just grab a plastic bag and like pop it over someone's head and suffocate them.
That might be better for me, actually. I'm going to do that around. Just put me out of my misery.
I can't eat them because of my braces.
I was at a Broadway show recently, and there were a bunch of, there was like four old people in front of me. They're like senior citizens, and they'd gotten drunk at intermission, and they're just like talking, just like having a conversation. So I was like, so I go, shh. I do like full shh, and I did it again. But the best part was that I had emboldened the two women from Staten Island.
Next yes,
to me. And the lady, because once I like opened the floodgate, then everyone was doing it. And the lady leans into these old people and goes, "If you guys can't be quiet, I'm gonna call the usher right now." So anyway,
that Staten Island energy just overflowed, and that's all I
miss. I lived in Staten Island for a year. I miss it. What a place. Okay, so he's like, well, should we call the cops? And she's like, no, he overreacts. So they're like, what if he's dangerous? And then a server is like, your friend's eating the jellies. Why are we gonna criminalize eating fucking jelly out of the packet too? Just put childhood me into prison.
The jelly to prison pipeline is real, and we need to make sure we do not encourage it.
Yes,
I only went to church to drink the little creamers in the reception area. After church reception area and eat the jellies out of the thing. So sue me, take me to prison.
So then we finally meet this sheriff. Okay, Sheriff Nathaniel Hunter. So they're observing the broken glass at the thrift store, and you know, he's like, it's a smash and grab. This is no good. And what's been stolen? Overalls and galoshes. Okay.
And it wasn't even they were selling at the store. It was his galoshes.
It was that queen's personal galoshes for when she does trash man play with Mel. Yeah.
Yes.
And trash man.
Like, you know, I took
trash man play. What are you going to
use? Your trash cans aren't lined up correctly.
Like, yeah. But what are you going
to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? Sorry, I had myself muted.
You put some trash in the recycling, and now you're going to get punished.
You didn't mix out your bottles. Now bend over.
He's like, well, I took a vow to protect and serve, and I failed to uphold that vow last night, and I am so sorry, lady. I'm going to establish a task force that will basically just be me and my sidekick, and we are going to find the perpetrator.
This is when the tone where I go, okay, this is interesting. This is funny, but it's like what they did is normally this is the most important, the first thing we see, the man and the woman of the important storyline. And I'm like, why am I more interested in seeing the funny stuff that the cop says?
Yeah.
And it's like,
he was definitely the stealer of the film.
Tonally, I was like, this is weird. It's almost like you decided you needed something else, but then he brought a whole other dimension that you weren't anticipating. No.
Well, he's also the only real character in it. I mean, you've got the lead character. One of them's just like, hi, you're a snowman. Wow. Do you want to come have some pie? And then the snowman's like, I'm Goofy. I'm a snowman without clothes. Like, no one really has a character. So it's like finally someone comes in and they're like, here's my thing. I'm a cop who tries too hard for no reason.
But that's it. Like, I am enforcing a very intense police state in this small town.
Yes.
And then we find out, because he's like,
I want a hard target search of every hen house, outhouse,
roundhouse. Yeah. I just love the film. What am I going to say? Patrick Swayze, RIP, motherfucker.
All right, let's get this going, boys. So we find out the stakes could not be any higher, because we find out that these galoshes have been handed down from generation to generation to generation, and that they cannot fall into the wrong hands.
Oh, for actually what really happens.
Go to Old Navy, girl. It's called disposable fashion. Try it.
Actually, what really happens is that Mel goes, oh, I don't really care. It's fine. I'm like, oh, okay.
So whatever.
You don't have to have stakes. That's fine.
Yeah, they don't care. They're like, sure.
It's almost like Craig Robinson's working his ass off to raise the stakes, and everyone else is like, it's okay.
It's fine.
It's fine.
We have others.
Completely ignore him.
I didn't like them anyway.
It's a snowman.
They were meaningless. They were meaningless galoshes that I wanted to be rid of anyway.
That's funny.
Basically.
So let's see. They're like, well, what are they talking about?
Well, the sheriff is, yeah, the sheriff, right? He's basically, also, there's this weird scene where the sheriff, because he's talking to Mel in their shop, and it's Mel, the sheriff, and then I think her gay husband or the deputy, I forget. There's three of them, but there's this shot of them kind of walking. Did you notice that toward the camera, and the cameraman is
weird shot. Yeah.
But you can actually see whoever is holding the light is moving the light, and you can actually just see shadows. And because they were trying to, it's harder, obviously, to light someone with darker skin. So he, Craig Robinson, has this, like, it looks like someone just took their phone light and it's shining on his face. Meanwhile, Mel, who's very pale white, is completely fucking blown out and looks like she's on a film. This is niche filmmaking, but I noticed it.
Since we're talking about it, I need to point out that on every appearance of the Craig Robinson character, if you listen to the score, it sounds like the movie Shaft. It's like,
yes!
This is a black sort of character. He's got all his food. Yow, he's got his fly now.
This is very white guy written for sure.
I'm sorry that Richard Roundtree wasn't alive to see it.
Barrier breaker. So he's telling them
every time, y'all. That sheriff, that music happens.
But what happened, Ronnie, is he basically says, I'm on the case. Meanwhile, Lacey Chabert is talking to Snowho and whatever the fuck Snowho. His name is. And she's like, that's where he find out, y'all, because I'm glad you brought it up. He looks at her and she's like, what's your name? And he says, I don't know. And she calls him Jack. And he looks at her and says, God, I mean, kudos to the actor for making this sound somewhat organic.
He said, crazy shit.
He said, the last thing I remember was someone was staring at me, putting a scarf on me, and then there was a flash of light in my face.
And that's when you call the hospital. You not go to the doctor who doesn't have a degree. You say, you take him to a facility. Because something's wrong. The
crisis is real, and it has gone into small town America, including this poor man. So Kathy's like, okay, so is this a prank? Okay, I get it. Okay, fine. Prank the saddest girl in town. Thanks a lot, guys. I have a hole in my fucking staircase. I don't need to deal with this.
My husband's been dead for 4 months.
Ronnie, maybe that's why she's not happy, because they all know her, but they just keep teasing her like, cancer, he's dead, and just pranking her.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Kathy, guess what? We're having a couple's dinner tonight. Can you come? Oh, sorry, Kat. Sorry.
God damn it. I finally figured out what's going on here. You were the one who built that really hot snowman that I was kind of attracted to, but I also offloaded that awful scarf onto. No offense, Mel. And no offense. Now you destroyed it, and now you're showing up pretending to be the snowman. I get it. Okay, gag is up.
Gag is up.
So then she's like, oh my God, are you a pranker? Oh my God, you built a snowman that looks like you, and is that what this is? I mean, what is this? Are you really a snowman, or are you someone so obsessed with yourself you're building snowman about yourself? And he's like, I feel strange. And she's like, but how did you know I took that photo? Were you following me? Is this part of the joke? How can we do this? We don't have cameras in this town.
But like, asking these questions makes it even crazier. Like, the fact that they're trying to explain this makes it worse. If they went with it.
They're trying to make it make her seem like a real person who would be skeptical of the situation. So she has to go through these perfunctory moments of doubt and conspiracy. So
they really need to have people on meth for this to make sense, and then it would work.
Meanwhile, we have which we already see, because they're doing it in the credits and the bloopers. Craig Robinson and Julia Trujillo are basically just doing an improv song called Crime Doesn't Pay. And I can only imagine that he was just playing on this, that they had a little thing, a little keyboard, and Craig Robinson just started doing it. And this is going in the film.
And it was the best part of it. It was so funny. Yeah.
Great.
So he's singing this song about crime in Hope Springs. And he's like, you better have your bail, because we're taking you to jail in Hope Springs.
It's so good.
So good.
He's just singing it. Like, I just love it. He goes back. He's like, I'm so disturbed that our streak of having no crime for a month has been broken.
By a streaker.
I have to go back to the police station. By a streaker. I've got to go back to the police station and sing this one out, because before this investigation goes any further, let's get on some keys and let's sing a sweet song, and then we'll start looking into it.
So he gets a call. He's like, boss, there's another crime last night. And he's like, oh gosh, it was streaking. A man was running naked in the plaza around one. Old Mortimer and Ethel Jennings saw him while walking their dog. Ethel's vagina still hasn't walked home.
Her vagina broke free of its mortal coil.
It's running around the town looking for the man.
She's insisting it's a public service.
Yes,
Ethel the dick pig. Ethel is hot for this guy. So
that was that was a funny line.
Yeah.
So the sheriff is like, hard on crime. People respect that. For months, we haven't needed to write so much as a parking ticket. Partially because I think only one person in this car drives, and it's, you know.
Yeah, there are like 60 people in the town, tops. Yeah.
And she, by the way, does she really need to drive her car across the street to get to Kathy's? I don't think
so.
No. But he goes, for 6 weeks before my reappointment as sheriff, we have a crime spree on our hands. Coincidence? Conspiracy? Oh, I didn't pick up on this. So he really thinks that, like, he's up for, like, his job is in peril because he's up for re-election. And so now he thinks that someone's actually...
He alludes to
get him out of office.
He alludes to the mayor and he having some type of,
and it's never brought up again.
And it is completely dropped. Yeah,
at this point, yeah, he says that the mayor is trying to impede his running so that he can lose. But this is where they kind of lose too, because a sheriff is an elected position, and then he's like willing to piss off literally every single person in town, mm-hmm. like for no reason.
And also, he works for the people. And also, right. We never meet the mayor.
I really, yeah. Honestly, I thought it was gonna be Lauren Holly. I was like,
that
okay,
would make sense.
Lauren Holly is the mayor. She's the big bad of this entire.
Probably Chriselle. That's why she's like all mean about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Pancakes,
what it feels like is
she's passing no chocolate chips outside of Sunday law.
Lauren Holly just feels like someone who is runs some type of like just brothel. That's kind of what it feels like for older ladies.
Massage parlor for a small town.
Uh-huh.
Kind of my dad used to go to. He loves
So they're just talking about it. Basically, the sheriff is mad and he's like, a man is defined by his actions, Ed. And now it's time to take actions. Bring this man to justice.
Justice.
Yeah.
It's a good day for justice.
It's a good day for justice.
It's also a good day for questionable medical practices because now we are at
office. This is where I was starting to kind of lose it because we're only 25 minutes into the movie. The fact that Dr. Dottie, isn't that her name? Dottie? Is that what she calls her?
Yes.
We almost forgot. We've seen a lot of these movies at this point. Have you ever seen a character put on sunglasses, take them off, and look directly into camera to the audience?
Yeah,
that was great.
I feel a lot of this. I don't think a lot of this was in the script. I think he was riffing, and I think it was fucking fantastic.
But later on in the movie, he takes his sunglasses off again and says something and doesn't look in the camera. Sorry. I need a callback.
And then I think Lauren Holly improv this line and said, why were you wearing sunglasses in the bathroom? I really think that was improv. I would submit now that this movie might have been 40% improv. Yes, I think this movie might have been 40% improv. The funniest line.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go back. Go back to the doctor, but I just had to bring that up.
So the doctor comes in. Dr. Dottie walks into the room and she's like, oh, hello. Hey, hottie. Is it time for a physical exam?
Kathy's like, oh, this is Jack. Just met him this morning. You know, it's so weird. I found him talking to sculptors. Lady, you were the one sitting there looking one in the eye and giving one a scarf last night. Who are you shaming?
Yeah.
You're the one, like, literally, Mel gives you the scarf and is like, honey, go get laid. And instead, what do? You give your scarf, your fucking around scarf to a snowman. This is on you a little bit.
And remember, her house still has no heat. She could use all the scarves she could.
She could. What an ungrateful bitch.
He's
not going to be mayor.
They take his temperature. And they're like, wow, you're really cold. And he goes, I was a snowman. I don't remember anything before last night. And they kind of go, oh, okay.
But when they take the temperature again, then they're convinced.
Yeah. Well, he's really, well, first of all, so going back to this issue about what does he know and what does he not know, he tries to eat the thermometer, which which is strange.
We all try once. I mean, that's part of it.
I did as a kid. My mom
or twice.
I was really worried that she was going to, that we were going to have to watch like a faux sex scene between them, and I was going to have problems with how that works. Yeah.
Well, I kept on thinking, like, how is this movie going to tackle global warming? Because that's going to be a real issue for Jack.
Yeah. I'm going to suck.
He's not going to last long in this world.
No, not at all.
But we get a workaround later.
The villain is just Al Gore.
It's coming.
It's coming.
So the thermometers aren't working because they're basically saying that his body temperature is like 30 degrees. And Dottie is like, well, he's ice cold and he's sweating and the thermometers are saying that he's cold. So it means either he's dead or he really is a snowman.
That's my scientific opinion.
And he's not dead. So here we are.
Yeah. This is the thing. Wouldn't it be, we need to get him to a hospital. Something is really fucking wrong.
No.
Like,
why would they do that?
No. Yeah. They don't believe in big pharma in the car. So they're going to keep him here. And Dottie is like, well, maybe he's telling the truth. And Kathy's like, oh, sure. And I'm the queen of Aldovia.
Do you know what that is? That's where they had, like, it was like, there were a couple of movies like Christmas Prince and like the Selena Gomez one, the Christmas Switch or something like that. Some of them were in Aldovia. So there's an Easter egg for people who love these movies.
I was wondering. I was like, that seems,
I was like, I caught it and I went, oh, that's gotta be something. And so, yeah, I Googled.
You Googled it, eh?
Yeah.
So she's like, oh my God, you're a doctor, Dottie. What do you actually think? And she's like, look, everything's about Christmas. Santa, elves, flying reindeer. So the scientist in me knows they shouldn't exist, but wouldn't it be better if it did? Wouldn't the world be better if they did exist? You know, it's the first six pack we've seen in this town. Let's whatever you want.
I think Dr. Dottie is on Adderall and she need or something because then she immediately just meets this man who Lacey's calling a drifter, but she immediately says, how would you like to stay with me, hot snowman?
Yes!
In my doctor house. Please.
Yeah, she's like, I'll
really
take you.
That this was not the attending doctor on Kathy's husband, because that might explain some of the issues.
Right, that would explain why everyone in the town has died prematurely in the last 10 years.
We're going to get to it later, but I already question all the medical advice, mainly because the doctor notes I saw were written in Comic Sans. Like, that is something I could never get past.
When he finds the cancer diagnosis, it was written in Comic Sans. Man, this show is so sad. Like, there's a deep illness that this show has.
It was, so at, when I saw that, that's when I went, I believe in it all.
She's a con artist.
She's a con artist.
Is a literal con artist who came to this town to start a new life, running from the mob. And she's
that's
I'm
why
a doctor,
she's so willing to just believe everybody. She's and like, she's like, you know what? If he's a snowman, he's a snowman. I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. And she says, come live with me. And he says, but I want to live with Kathy. And the
as long as the Freddies don't find out where I am, I'm fine.
But then the doctor, Dr. Dottie, who is also supposed to be Lacey Chabert's good friend, says, oh, she can't even take care of herself. Stupid bitch. Have you seen her house? God, what a fucking jump.
She's a disaster.
Hot tip. Don't step on the third stair. It doesn't exist.
I had to go over there last week and do her laundry. It's that bad.
It's that bad.
No one even wants to help Kat. They want to help the snowman, but they're like, yeah, she's a lost cause.
No one wants to help. That's true.
And there's he's like, but no, Kathy, I want to stay with you. But that's when she says, I can't. She's like, but I trust you because you put the scarf on me. And
so
he
now
says,
it's the scarf that's magical.
Yeah. And he says, I'm pretty sure that's what's keeping me alive. But I don't know if you guys clocked this, but later on, there was definitely one or two scenes where he was not wearing the scarf. I'm like,
yes,
hello.
It also doesn't make sense because scarves keep you warm and he can't be warmer. Come on, guys.
I wrote that down too. And I said, it hurts me to think about that. The scarf would actually make him a little warmer.
Right.
Justice for Snowman continuity.
So after some badgering, Kathy gives in and is like, fine. And he goes, thanks, I love you. And she's like, you do not love me. He goes, no, I love you. And she's like, you don't love me. Stop saying you love me. Well, I was like, okay, this is fun. I like that she can't accept affection. This is good.
It's interesting. They do have a thing where she's looking at the Lindsay Lohan movie. She's like, that looks like a girl I went to high school with.
Okay. That was so funny. At this point, now they go back to her house.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? I'm sorry. I know this is already 10 hours, but I need a break because I need to ask something. So Lindsay, who was Gretchen Wiener? She was Gretchen Wiener, but wasn't Gretchen Wiener's like the main normal girl in Mean Girls that was trying to get in with the Mean Girls? And then she went through the whole journey. Who was Lindsay Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan was the new girl.
Lindsay was the new girl. Gretchen was like in with the popular girls, but
Gretchen was Airhead.
Gretchen was the mean girl.
Gretchen was like kind of the one of the mean girls. The Airhead was Amanda Seyfried.
She was like Airhead was Amanda Seyfried. Gretchen was kind of like
she went to England.
She was kind of like the girl with skin issues in The Craft, who wasn't really bad, but like a sidekick bad, but still following the mean girl.
Okay, thank you. Because I even saw the musical Mean Girls, and I was like, well, I thought Gretchen Wiener was a Lindsay Lohan character.
Oh, I hated it. I hated it so much.
It was not good.
You know what? It's sad that some of these musicals can't last longer than our recap of this movie.
We're longer running than Cats.
Why don't we wrap up this episode with a TV continue? This
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.